So let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. A very fascinating story that I would like to present before you. We will not step out of this chapter, so we can remain there. So I would like you to just put it so we can go through those scriptures. Genesis 15, 1-5. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. You know, most of us know the story of how Abram was able to deliver his nephew, Lot, from the enemies, and five kings were delivered in the process. And those kings came to Abram and said, Abram, we are at your mercy. If it was not for you, we would have been killed. So why don't you take all the goods that has been captured back from the enemy? And Abraham looked at those kings and said, I would not take any of your goods, neither a shoelace from you, lest you say, you made me rich. Abraham was very jealous of protecting God's glory. He said, I will not allow anybody else to have a share in my future, in the blessing that God is going to give to me. Only God will have all the glory. And that night, God appeared to Abram and said to Abram, Abram, I can give you a reward if you want. I can give you any reward because I'm a rewarder. But I've chosen not to give you a reward. Instead of that, I'm going to give you something. Take me. I am your reward. What a profound statement. If you want healing, I am your healer. If you want deliverance, I'm your deliverer. I am your great reward. Can I get somebody to say an agreement? Amen. Beautiful. Now, the reason I want you to know the magnanimity of this passage, the impact that it has beyond those times. This one chapter is one of the few chapters in the Bible whose impact goes beyond centuries. The destiny of a nation, namely Israel, is connected to this one chapter. The very fact that Israel will have their own land is given in this chapter. The Abrahamic covenant, of which the Gentiles have been made partakers of, is now recorded in this chapter. What am I trying to say? This chapter is one of the most powerful chapters in the entire Word of God in the Bible. So let's go there very, very careful. Next word. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? So God is giving a very profound statement, and Abraham is talking about his own inefficiency, his own incapacity. He said, God, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it in me for a future blessing. And the steward of my house is this Eliasim of Damascus. Next word. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou was given no seed, even though there was a promise. And lo, one born in my own house is my heir. And behold, now look at this. You know, when you cannot comprehend God's promise, it's a normal human tendency to confine God's promise within our understanding based on our capacity. You know, he said, God, I don't think it's going to happen the way you said it's going to happen. So let's find a middle ground. And I want you to look good. Now, Abraham is trying to make God look good. If some of you are trying to make God look good, stop trying. He's already good. You know, Abraham wanted to cover up for God. He said, God, I know it's not possible for me to have a child. So let's come to this understanding. If a child is born in my family as the son of one of my servants, he's my child. Case solved. There's no problem here. And God says, Abraham, are you kidding? If I mean something, I will do it. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to speak, and I'm here to fulfill what I speak, because my words cannot go in vain. Oh, come on, church. And then, this is the next beautiful statement of this previous verse, of this chapter. The first time in the Bible, where God reveals himself with the description or by the representation of his word is this verse. Behold, the word of the Lord came. First time in the entirety of God's word where the word of God says, the word came. This is a manifestation of God's word. Abraham is about to hear the word of God. And look at this. Next verse. Let's go back. And this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thy heir. You don't have to help me, Abraham. I will do exactly what I said I will do. It's not anybody born in your family. It's somebody coming of your loins. That's what the Bible says. Next word. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so thy seed be. So this happens in the night. Come on. It's happening in the night. And please listen, I'm about to lay something very strong here. Next word. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. If you study the writings of Paul, the doctrine of justification in its entirety is now embraced by this one scripture. The whole doctrine of justification according to Romans 4 is based on this scripture. And he believed in the Lord. And today the Lord is saying he needs somebody to believe him, to believe his word. Can somebody shout an amen? Amen. He believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. You know what it says? He reckoned as righteousness. The original word is this. God said to Abraham, Abraham, you don't have righteousness. I have righteousness. But you have faith. Give me your faith. I will give you righteousness. Hallelujah. God counted it as righteousness. And Paul says, a righteousness based on not on works, but on faith. Hallelujah. That's called justification. God justified us not based on what we did, but based on what he did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus made us righteous in Christ. Hallelujah. Can we shout an agreement? Amen. The entire doctrine of righteousness based on faith comes from this passage. Next word. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land as inheritance. Anytime God speaks to somebody's promise, he would give it in two forms. Number one, he will tell you about how he brought you to this place. And I want everybody to know, before you can believe God for something into the future, God says, can you praise me? Thank me for how I led you so far. Oh, you didn't hear that. If you are confused, if you are not certain as to how God is about to fulfill a promise in your life, the word of the Lord is speaking to you this morning. Are you sure in this place, through all the adversity that you had to face, all the troubles that your life had to face, you are here today, protected, preserved, and provided by God? It's not because of what you did. It's only because of God's faithfulness. If you believe that, shout a hallelujah. God always wants you to refer back to your past. How many of you can truly say, when I stood this morning, just in the time of worship, I looked at my own life and said, God, when I think about it, the way you led me, the way where you protected me, I can only say, great is thy faithfulness. How many of you can truly say, it was God who brought me thus far? If you believe that, put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah to Lamb. He led you. Abraham, Before you can hold on to my promise for the future, on which your life depends, you need to be aware that I brought you. I protected you. Next word. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know? This is where my preaching begins, that I shall inherit it. God's reply. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Did you see the number? 3, 3, and 3. It's fascinating. Fascinating. I can talk on this one little description for us, but let me just give you a few thoughts. You know, the next word says Abraham is split those animals into two and placed it, facing one another. Normally, if God would have asked him to bring some animals, it would have been for sacrifice. But Abraham knew this was not for sacrifice. It was something else that God was about to show him. Based on the customs of those places, it was customary if a king is making a covenant with somebody, a lesser person, the person who's making the covenant, the big man, will first walk among those split animals. And the one who's lesser would walk behind him. You know, it says, if I make a breach to this covenant, you can cut me like you cut these animals. That's the power of the word covenant. If I break my word with you, you can cut me asunder as you did to these animals. That's what was happening there. And God said, Abraham, you want proof? Bring the animals. I will talk in your language. I'm going to walk among the split pieces. If I don't keep my word, you can do what you did to those animals. Our God, he gives value to his word. But the word three, get me that paper, Pasadena. The word three, it's so fascinating. Every time covenant has happened, the word three comes there, the number three. Look at the life of Abraham itself. The first time God comes down to speak about him having a child, and then the timing of that child being born, how many people came to Abraham's house? Three angels. The second time, it's three animals that are 3 years old, all of them. And the third time, when Abraham is asked to go to the Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, and the covenant is reiterated on the mount. How many of you know the Bible says on the third day, Abraham saw the mount? Look at the Mount Sinai, the covenant given to the people of Israel. The Bible says on the third month, if you study properly, it says on the third month, on the third day, God comes down and says, from this day onwards, the third day, I will come and give you the commandments. 3, 3, and 3. Beautiful. And how many of you know the mark of the covenant in the Old Testament? What is the mark of the covenant in the Old Testament? The one object that gives you the mark of the covenant. I'll make it easy for you. It's called the Ark. Oh. The Ark of the Covenant. How many objects are there inside the Ark? The rod of Moses, the pot of manna, and the Ten Commandments. And for the continuation of the covenant, two things were required. Number one, sacrifices. How many of you know the three major sacrifices? The peace offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering. And then the Bible says they have to come to the house of God, temple. How many times? Three times a year. The feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of Tabernacle. Everything is three. Interestingly, I got this quote from the Talmud, the Jewish writing. This is what it says. Blessed be the merciful one who gave a threefold Torah to a threefold people through a third born on the third day in the third month. Why they say third born? Because Moses was a third in his house. The figure three is constant motif. The Torah is in three parts. The Pentateuch, prophets, and hagiographer, which is a writing. Israel consists of three kinds of Jew. The Kohen, the priestly, the Levite, the ministers, and the Israelites. Moses was born the third after Miriam and Aaron. The Torah was given in the third month on the third day to the people of Israel. God's seal on his people. I was so fascinated when Jonathan and David made the covenant. You know what happened? David bowed before Jonathan 3 times. 3 is a mark of the covenant. And on the 3rd day, Jesus, fulfilling the covenant, he rose from the dead. Everything is 3. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. And God says, next word, this is a key. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And this is a message that God spoke to me. He said, the greatest covenant ever known to man is about to be given by God to a man called Abraham. And the Lord told me, Abraham doesn't have to do anything. In fact, how many of you know the Bible says, when God walked, it was a sunset the next day. That means this entire episode encounter started the previous night. It went about 24 hours. The next day, when the sun was about to set, great darkness came upon Abraham. And Abraham slept. And it was not Abraham who walked among those pieces. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, among those pieces, there was a torching lamp, a furnace, and a lamb, signifying the very presence of God. What is happening here? Abraham, according to the customs, both of us are supposed to walk among these pieces. If one of us make a mistake, that one should be cut into pieces. But I know you are human. I know you cannot maintain your part of the bargain. So you sleep there. And the Bible says God put a sleep on him. And God walked. He said, your side of the bargain, I'm going to fulfill. You don't have to do anything. If you sign up to this treaty, if you are part of it, I'm sure you will break it. I'm sure you're going to fail in it. And then comes a curse upon you. But since you cannot do it, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to take both sides. Hallelujah. That is called the covenant of Abraham. Can somebody shout a hallelujah? God says it's all the way me. From the beginning till the end, it's me. It's got nothing to do with you, Abraham. You just have to stay there. I will walk. And this greatest revelation is about to come forth. And God said, I'm going to give you this land which now you rest. And the lands around those places. And I want to declare this. There are many nations that is absolutely with drooling desire, sitting around the nation of Israel, wanting to annihilate the land of Israel. But I want to make it very clear. God keeps his word. And nobody can take that land. That land belongs to the people of God from time eternity and to time eternity. It shall remain as the only property of the seeds of Abraham. Can I get an agreement here? Because God makes this covenant. It is not dependent on Abraham at all. God walks among those pieces. But then the Lord told me, Abraham, you don't have to do anything. I am going to do the fulfillment. The half is taken care of. But you need to do one thing. And the Lord gave me that prophetic word and I cried. He said, Abraham started this experience probably in the morning. And he had to wait. How many of you have been in a place where God said something and you have to wait? Can I get agreement here? The word was very clear. You cannot doubt it. It is so profound that you cannot minimize it. The Bible says the word of God came to Abraham. The first time God is revealed in the form of his word coming is in this chapter. God said, it is so powerful that I spoke to you. But does not dismiss the fact that sometimes after God speaks, there's a waiting time. And some of you are there. The church has a promise. But we are waiting. How many hours can Abraham wait? He waited, and God is not showing up. Here is God asking him to bring the heifer, the ram, the goat, but God is not showing up. And is anybody in this room that sees God's word has come to your life, but God is not showing up? He waited. And any time you wait, remember, that's the time the fowl of the air comes in. And the Lord told me, tell my people, if they can keep that covenant from being touched, being snatched by the fowl of the air, the days of victory is coming close. Oh, you didn't hear that. I don't know how many of you understood that. The Lord told me, son, all that I'm asking you to do, you don't worry about how it's going to happen. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry about how difficult it is. It is my job. You don't even have to do anything. But you need to do one thing. See that the fowl, the vultures do not take away that covenant, that promise. It's so fascinating. Jesus also said the same thing. When the word of God comes, the fowl of the air would come to take it away. And Jesus said, it's the devil. It's the spirit of darkness. He wants to take away the seed of promise upon your life, upon your family. And Abraham chased it away. He said, yes, God has not come, but I'm not going to give my promise away. Yes, God is becoming late, but I'm not going to throw away my promise. Somebody make a statement of faith this morning in the name of Jesus. Even if I have to wait, I will not let the devil touch my promise. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to chase the enemy away. Oh, get ready. There's a promise of healing. There's a promise of deliverance. There's a promise of ministry. There's a promise of your children coming back. There's a promise of your restoration. And you seem to be waiting. But God says, even if you have to wait, tell the devil, I will not allow you to touch my promise. Somebody shout a mighty hallelujah. He chased away. Get ready. Because God is about to show up. The Lord told me something very profound. 2 weeks or maybe 2.5 weeks, I was having a small meeting in one of our brother's family. In a cell meeting, and the Lord told me, tell my people, my church is about to enter a new season. And yesterday night, I heard the Lord tell me, that season has got a name. It's going to be called the season of answered prayers in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. God says you're about to enter that season. But before that, the enemy wants to snatch away that promise in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy knew if this is snatched away, how many of you know waiting can make you not just impatient, but also can make you lethargic? You'll come to a place where you easily give up. You'll come to a place where you say, what's the point? You'll come to a place, you'll say, now I resign to fate. Whatever must happen. Nobody can help it. Abraham, God wanted to test you. 12 hours, maybe, you have been waiting at that split animals. God asked you to do it and he's not showing up. 1 hour, 2 hours, how many hours will you wait? Think about it. You invited somebody, or somebody invites you to their home to give you food, and you just wait for 30 minutes, you get upset, irritated. And the man who called you is not showing up and there's no food on the table. I don't think anybody will wait for 12 hours. You'll say thanks, but no thanks. Hallelujah. Here is a man to whom God said, bring all the things. And God is not showing up. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, God is not showing up. The only thing that's showing up is a vulture. Anytime when God is not showing up, remember, There's an enemy that shows up to snatch your promise, to dishearten you. It's called the enemy of doubt. It's called the enemy of disappointment. It's called the enemy of discouragement. It wants to take away that promise. And this morning I see the hovering of vulture upon your promise. But in the name of Jesus, some of you chase the enemy away. Chase the enemy away. Chase the enemy away. In the name of Jesus. And declare by the power of God, you cannot touch my promise. You cannot touch my destiny. This is God who has given it to me. Imagine if Abraham had come to a point of disillusionment and said, what's the point? If God doesn't need my sacrifice, let the vultures have it. At least I'll be environmentally friendly. But he said, you know what? No matter what happens, because there's a word of God upon this, what is about to transpire, he is going to touch generations. What is about to transpire, he's going to touch nations. What's about to transpire, he's going to touch billions of people. You cannot let the vultures have it. The Lord says some of your destiny is so big. Chase the vulture away. Chase the vulture away. Somebody shout a hallelujah. Hey, can I get a towel or something? This I'm going to close. You know, this is a moment we are going to chase the enemy. He's coming to touch your promise. Did I ask you permission for it? Okay. Hallelujah. He's come to snatch your promise. He's going to touch your covenant. And today, chase him away. You know what the Jewish people have written in their book? Abraham sat there at that little, you know, pieces where it's scattered. And the whole time, come on, hallelujah. I think this suits me. Hallelujah. Whole time, this was what he was doing. And this morning, there's an enemy of doubt coming against your promise. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody start praising God in the house. This morning, chase the enemy away. The promise is about to happen. The fulfillment is about to come. God is about to show up. Somebody give the Lord an agreement. God is about to show up in the name of Jesus. Oh, your complaint is God did not come through as yet. But if he spoke, he will. Just hang in there. He will. And the enemy comes and says, it's not going to happen. Jesus said that enemy wants to steal that seed. He's coming as a fowl of the air. It's the Satan. It's the devil. And Abraham said, I don't know what's happening here, but vulture, you can't have it. I'm chasing you away. Hallelujah. I believe if Abraham was from India, he would not just use his cloth, he will take a stone. Come on, hallelujah. Chase him away. Chase him away. Somebody chase that enemy away. God is about to keep his promise. If you believe that, shout a mighty hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Chase him away. Praise God. Hallelujah. You need this. We're going to chase that doubt spirit away. We're going to chase the devil that says it's not going to happen. You know what? The Lord has promised over this church is going to give us a brand new building. And today the devil says he's not going to let that happen. We don't have the money. How it's going to happen? Come on, hallelujah. Chase the enemy away. We are going to receive God's blessing. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. And that afternoon, sitting on the plane, I said, devil, I was quiet for some time. And vultures, because you thought I'm quiet, you came too close. And I don't like the presence of vulture too close. Hallelujah. The proximity intimidates me. So I told God, every promise that's on my life, every promise that's upon this church, God is about to show up. And before that can happen, every fowl of the air, vulture of doubts and deceit, every form of attack on my promise, I'm going to chase the enemy away. If you are willing to chase the devil away, who's about to steal your promise, you need to stand up, do with an action right now. Come on, hallelujah. Stand up and do with an action in the name of Jesus. Do with an action. Abraham chased the enemy, chased the vulture, and said, don't touch my promise. Don't touch the promise upon my church. Don't touch the promise upon my family. Don't touch my children. Don't touch my future, my destiny in the name of Jesus. Chase! Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hudabalaba Shandaloria. The Lord is giving me a promise right now. Tell my people, when they decide or when they chase the vulture away, within a few seconds, something is going to happen. A burning lamb started to walk among those split pieces. God's presence came down. The Lord told me, when my people chase the vulture away, the vulture that wants to steal this covenant, this promise, the Lord told me, I'm about to show up in my splendor, in my glory, in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, can you give the Lord the best praise offering right now as you chase the enemy away? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shandalarabaka shandalo. Every promise must come to pass. Every word of God must come to pass. Every covenant must be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Chase the enemy away. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We are going to destroy the powers of evil. Jesus said, if you do not allow those birds to get that seed, the seed will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It shall bear fruit. It starts with a seed. God needs that seed. And the only climate that in which the seed is going to grow is faith. And the devil also is looking for that seed. Because he knows if he can take that seed out of your life will become like a parched land with nothing. It'll become a land of wilderness. It's a seed that gives you hope. And this morning, the vultures are hovering to take away that seed. How many of you want to do with an action? In spite of nothing happening, in spite of me not knowing how it's going to happen, I'm going to chase that vulture away. I'm going to chase that enemy away. Come on, do it with an action in the name of Jesus. Do it. It's your personal time. Do it. Do it. Make some statements of faith. Command in the name of Jesus. If you want to walk out of your pews, you can do that. The vultures will not have my promise. Yes, it's true that God has not come through as yet. It's true that God's power has not been released as yet. But the word of the Lord has only been spoken. And since there's a word upon my blessing, upon my children's future, I'm going to tell the devil, enough is enough. You cannot touch my promise. You cannot touch my blessing. In the name of Jesus, somebody chase the vultures away. Hallelujah. 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 Shandalarabalaba. Shandalarabasiyana. If you don't mind, this is only for people who want to be the violent ones shall take the kingdom of God by force. Only those people. If you want to just go to your brother or your sister in just under 1 minute and put your hands over them and say, every spirit of doubt, I'm chasing you away from this life. Can you do that? Can you bless your brother right now? Can you bless your sister right now? The vultures cannot have his promise. The vultures cannot have his destiny. Chase, chase, chase. Chase that spirit. Hallelujah. Hudabala raba shandala raba shande. Chase, 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 chase. Because your destiny depends upon it. Your future depends upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. You are in the house. You know, the Lord told me just one word. Anderson, you chase the vulture away. And I'm going to show up. In my glory. And nobody can stop me. Can I get a mighty shout of hallelujah? May I request the Gunawardene family to come forward as we're going to pray for you. And Brother Peter, Pastor Peter, would you come forward? The church would like to pray for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. First, we're going to pray for the Gunawardene family. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, this family is now embarking on a trip to their homeland, to a place that they came from. And Lord, I speak over this family, representing the church, that this trip will be a glorious one. Amen. Lord, Auntie Rohini went through a tough time. If you had not been on her side, this trip would have been different. Or maybe it wouldn't have happened. But since you were faithful, because of your goodness, because of your miracle working power, this family is going together. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, every enemy of attack, of sickness, of doubt, of confusion, all kinds of evil, the fowls of the air, we are chasing them away. Yes. You cannot touch them. The children will be protected. Yes. Their health will be protected. Yes. Their trip will be protected. Yes. They're going to have traveling mercies in the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, wherever they go, your presence will go with them. Amen. Your Holy Spirit shall accompany them. And Lord, we thank you for this trip. It's not just a visiting trip. It's also a ministering trip. Yes. You're going to use your people to minister.
Yes, Lord.
To people in need.
Yes,
to the broken people. They'll come back with a great testimony.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, right now we pray for our Pastor Peter.
Oh, yes.
Stretch your hand towards the man of God. Lord, there's a seed of your promise upon him and upon his future, upon his ministry. And this sickness is a form of a vulture that wants to snatch away that promise. But as a church, we are chasing away that vulture in the name of Jesus. That sickness, leave him. That problem, leave him.
Yes.
That pain, leave him.
Yes.
Lord, from this day onwards, that word of healing, the word of promise, already planted into his body, into his life, is about to explode into a glorious growth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! And no evil can touch him before it can happen. Lord, this week will be a victorious week. Lord, as we are entering the season of answered prayer, this will be one answered prayer in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. As a church, we are going back to our homes. Even after reaching home, we are going to chase away some attack, some doubt against the promise. And we believe God is about to show up. The covenant is going to be ratified.
Yes.
It's going to be fulfilled in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. It's been done. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody say it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a better shout offering of praise. Amen.